Hi, you're very welcome to the Alison Spittle Show with me, Alison Spittle. Thank you so much for tuning in. Today's guest was thanks to the lovely Vodafone Comedy Festival. They had the Alison Spittle Show live. And Eleanor Tiernan is my guest. She is an amazing, fantastic comedian from Ireland, now living in England. I just think she's the funniest, and she blew it out of the park in this podcast, and it was in front of a live audience, and I love doing ones in front of a live audience. And sure, look, have a listen and see. And this podcast is thanks to recruiters.ie. You'll hear an advert and you'll like it because it's supporting the podcast during the middle of this episode, and I'll chat to you soon. Will you please give a massive welcome to Miss Eleanor Tiernan, everybody? Woo! Beautiful. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, Al.
No, I'm very excited to have you on now. This is going to be a lot of fun. We should get into, you've got an Edinburgh show coming up.
That's right. Yes. I'd love to get the chance to tell people about that. Yeah, I'm doing a show at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, and it's called Success Without a Sex Tape.
Oh. No.
It's great. I hope the show is going to be funny too.
That's the plan.
You like the name, you're going to like the jokes. I'm interested in sex tapes. I'm not. But I want to ask you, have you ever seen a sex tape before?
Well, I hadn't.
You hadn't? Did you have to do some research?
I have now, yeah. I guess I felt a responsibility, even though I wasn't sure I was going to what part sex tapes were going to play in the show, but I thought I should at least have a look at some of the sex tapes, the famous ones that are out there, so that if somebody asks me about them, I have something to say.
Good.
About them. Yes.
I'm glad this situation has come up now and your searching was not in vain. Do you know? Exactly.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be shy if no one asked you and you just had... So I'm trying to think. I think I saw Paris Hilton's one years ago.
Yeah.
That was grand.
What did you make of it now?
All these celebrity sex tapes have quite nice locations. You know, I look at the back and I'm like, you know, that hotel is very swanky.
Very swanky, but she chose an interesting camera method for it. She chose night vision as the lighting, which gave it a kind of very sinister look. To my mind, I didn't think it was necessary or in keeping with the, you know, what she wanted to get across.
It kind of gave like an Operation Desert Storm vibe, didn't it? Do you know?
Yeah, or Blair Witch even kind of thing. I wouldn't have chosen it myself is basically what I'm
You would have got
saying.
Better lighting.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I got only the best now. I wouldn't leave anything like that to chance. No.
Soft furnishing, soft lighting.
Absolutely, yes.
I've never like made a sex tape before, and that's not like to slag off people that have. But there's a lot...
Have to be careful.
I know, because I don't, you know.
Don't want to be sex tape-ist.
Well, this is 2018 now, do you know? And if it was 2003, but like, yeah, sex tapes now... Not for me, but now they're everywhere. It's like donuts, do you know, like the donut shop craze, you know.
It's true. And I don't know. I think when the first person did a sex tape, it kind of created a slight pressure on everyone to do a sex tape. It's now something we all have to make a daily decision about.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's today the day I'm going to do a sex tape. And so far, no for me. But this is the... This is the what people don't consider, I think, is the problem is that the way these things go is that you know, you start at the beginning, it seems like a hilarious, ridiculous thing to do. But then, you know, it starts to get a little bit more mainstream and people start to think, oh, maybe I will do a sex tape. And then you get to a point where it starts to get, you start to feel like I'm the only one who hasn't done a sex tape.
Yeah.
And that at that point, you could do your sex tape, but no one would look at it because everyone's got one at that point. So you want to do one before the cutoff point. You want to get your sex tape done and out there. So I think the sooner the better.
Do you think so?
I do, yeah, yeah.
It's like, you know, if a tree falls in the woods and nobody was there to see it, did it actually happen? And it's like, you know, if you had the ride and you didn't film it,
did it actually happen? Yeah.
Do you know?
Well, that's, yeah, that's another, yeah, I hadn't thought of that.
I know. And yeah. I'm very bad of angles, you know, with selfies and stuff like that. So I'd be shite at a sex tape, do you know, like, well, you wouldn't know where to look or...
That's
do you make eye contact with the camera or what do you do? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what. I think that's where having friends comes in. People who can stand there and have a look at the lens and kind of know whether, you know, give you a bit of direction in the thing. That's what would concern me now is if I was doing, because I would probably be calling in favours from people I know who had camera equipment and getting them to come round and do the
filming.
Will
you hold the boom there?
That kind of thing. But then you see, you have to get, that's when people give work for free, you have to get them gifts afterwards.
You do.
And what gift do you get somebody who has helped you with your sex tape? That's what we're going to, you know.
I think maybe a copy of it. Just like a wrap gift. Just
a free copy of my sex tape. Yeah. Thank you.
And there's, what was I going to say about, there was another thing about sex tapes I was thinking of. I just feel a bit iffy. Like once you buy whatever, you know, like I presume you'd have to get a tripod if you were doing it. You'd have to, I would tell people I'm filming my own will. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And maybe you could do both. Maybe you could like, I have sound mind.
Make it a legal document.
Yeah.
Yes. Combine it.
Yeah, well then that's, you know, your family members have definitely earned whatever money you've left over.
Yes.
If they're sticking through.
You could really sort the wheat from the chaff there, you know.
Maybe because in Ireland, like, there's so many fights over wills.
Wills and land and all that stuff. It could be an untapped resource. The other thing you could do is if you had any inventions that you wanted to copyright, you could throw them into the sex tape, and that would be just an economical way of doing that.
I invented sex. So you came up with the title of the show then a few months before.
I did. Yes, and as happens with these things.
I know, me too. And
you have a great title.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
So my show is called Warrior Princess, and I did a tour of Ireland with it. And then when I did the tour, it was all very Irish-based stuff. It was all like, winning streak, lads. And that shit is not going to fly in Edinburgh. So now I've given it an arc. And
with the animals going on two by two.
But what's
I
your...
I rarely think of puns, but I got one there. That was quite pleased with myself.
I always get pleased with myself, because in England it seems like all the comedians are very into puns and wordplay. And sometimes, like, I see some comedians do a pun and then the audience will laugh and I'll go, fuck you.
Yeah. That's funny when you get annoyed with an audience for laughing at something that you didn't think was funny.
I know. You're like,
I don't think you're going to get me at all now.
You're not going to like my loosely based anecdotes at all.
These are insecurities, maybe the audience.
Shit, yeah, yeah. Sorry, we're talking shop
don't
here.
Need to know. Yeah.
We'll bleep this out. Yeah. We'll bleep out the whole two sentences and then go, insecurities, we didn't want the audience to know. And then the listeners at home can guess what those insecurities are. You can tweet in, guys. So how's the show progressed though? What's the show about at this point?
Yeah, so basically I had that title, and then I had a whole lot of anecdotes in my life, and I was wondering, how do these fit in with the title I've chosen, and can I make any sense out of all of this? And yeah, I think it is basically the show is about stuff that happened in my life that I didn't, I was too embarrassed to put on Instagram or Facebook. And I guess trying to kind of figure out like social media as a performance space, you know, it's as if we're all kind of performing our own lives for people. And I guess some stuff happens. This doesn't sound funny at all. I've turned it into an intellectual exercise. But it's a right laugh.
I learned. That's exactly how I did my show. You know, you're like anecdotes, and then you're like, shit, I have a name for this. How do I connect them?
Yeah.
I loved last year's show, People Pleaser, as well, and that was kind of about you moving to England.
Yes.
And pleasing people. Like me and Sarah, the producer, were always talking about the story you have about being in a taxi and you're kind of the taxi driver asks you to bring out the rubbish. And I relate to that so hard because I seem like the type of person that would like, you know, like I would let Jehovah's Witnesses in and chat to them for a little while, and then like anytime I'm making them tea, I'm definitely not converting though. Like, do you know what I mean? I'll make you tea, but I can tell you now, I'm a very lapsed Catholic, and that's the way I am. You know?
Do they get annoyed with you for leading them down the garden path?
Oh yeah, I suppose I did. I led him up my driveway, didn't I?
And then
into my house.
I took that guy's rubbish. Which I couldn't understand afterwards why I had done it. I just couldn't think of a reason in the moment why you wouldn't take somebody's rubbish. I can see why he asked me in a way, because I was going inside into the house and there would be a bin in there, presumably. But when I thought about it afterwards, it seemed like a very dumb thing to do, because I guess, you know... He could have been anybody. I had just taken a bag full of anything from a complete stranger and said I would hold it in my house for anything up to a week. There could have been something sinister involved. You know, he could have been, you know, somebody who had killed, perhaps, you know, and was trying to offload body parts and waiting for idiots like me to get into his taxi, you know. This is the thing, the explanation I would have, I don't think it would stack up for the guards. If they came to the house and said, we found remains of a missing person in your rubbish, can you explain how that got there? I'd have to say, I think it was probably in the rubbish that a taxi driver gave me yesterday. They'd be like, a taxi driver gave you rubbish and you just took it. Yeah. Like, yeah. Sometimes I do things because the reason why I shouldn't isn't clear when they're happening. That's the best I've got.
What bag was it? Like, what kind of rubbish was it? Was it paper? Was it plastic?
It was about a plastic bag with the carrier bag with the handles tied, about the size of a football.
That's a lot of rubbish.
It's a good bit, yeah. Yeah.
He shouldn't have had that in his taxi while you were in there. Did you give him a bad review on Uber or anything like that?
I think it was probably pre-Uber, so I didn't have that facility. I can tell you now.
You feel power, don't you, with that kind of stuff, though?
You do, but it goes both ways, doesn't it? Because they can review you back.
Oh, gee, I didn't think about that.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, Jesus. I'm nice to taxi drivers. Mostly.
I'm sure you are.
Do you know, come here until I tell you a joke. You're a comedian. And then it's always something horrible. They won't say that in the telly, will they? I'm like, no, they have standards. Like, you know. and you feel like a social hostage sometimes in taxis, though, where you're just like, yeah, I'll laugh along. Everyone's grand.
True.
So, yeah. Oh, hello.
Hi.
Two phones. Incred. No, aww. Don't worry about it. Don't apologize. Is it him? I know. I find it bad that, like, women don't get enough pockets on their clothes, you know, that we can hold phones or... sorry, that's a very big deviation from what we were chatting about there.
I can see why you thought it, though. I can see it right in front of you there. Yeah.
I was like, do you have pockets in your trousers?
Yes.
Why are you holding his phone? He's got pockets in his trousers. That's a courtesy thing. That's very nice. You're supporting the patriarchy, though. They have pockets. Yeah. Right? They have pockets. We don't have pockets. We have bags, yeah. And yet we are more labour on us. Yeah. I'm sorry. we should. what's the weirdest ever taxi ride you've ever got?
So I was in a taxi once, and a taxi driver asked me to take the rubbish.
Oh yeah, that. But I want to be more. I don't know. I want to be more to mine from the taxi anecdote.
I had a journey recently, and a journey that I didn't go on.
Oh, go. What happened there?
So my phone was robbed, which it's funny. Don't worry. It's fine. It's all right.
Someone's very upset.
Yes, I know. It's not. Empathy is lovely. No, my phone was robbed, but I was dumb enough to not have a code on the phone. So the guy who stole it was able to use all the apps on my phone, and he had a great night for himself using Uber. He bought a load of stuff, and then he went on a £100 taxi journey on my account. But what he was so dumb, right? because I got into a bit of a row with Uber afterwards, trying to reclaim the money and trying to, you know, fill them in that it wasn't me that had gone and bought all this stuff. But what happens in that situation is you get a letter from Uber with a map printing out the journey that the man took, and I brought it into the police, and we figured out who it was, and turned out he got the taxi home to his house. So yeah.
Oh my god.
Not exactly.
Like, you felt like
criminal genius.
Recruiters.ie, if you are interested in tech, HR, marketing, finance, sales, if you know what any of this stuff is and you're competent at it, why not go to recruiters.ie and you can find your future career. Ireland's leading Irish recruitment agency. They're very good. They're going to help you find a meaningful dream job so you can be happy and do nice things in life. So register your CV at recruiters.ie/registerCV and get ahead of the busy autumn hiring season. Recruiters.ie are looking for you. Okay. And you go look for recruiters.ie. And anyway, on with the show. Any other crime ever happened to you? That's podcast worthy.
I've had a few crimes. I was with a house that was broken into. For.
Oh, me too.
Yeah?
Yeah. I've had a...
Were you there at the time?
No, I wasn't. I walked in on the bastards, though, twice. Different houses.
Wow.
Yeah. Actually, it's not that funny now when I take...
Scary, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, like, the second time it happened... So the first time it happened, I moved out of that house because I was like, it's haunted now by the memories of the robin. You know, I was like, I need to leave. So 2 weeks later, in this new house I was in, came in with my flatmate, Heisen, who's from South Korea. And she had like €1,000 worth of South Korean money in her drawer and a tenner in English money. And the fuckers took the tenner.
Oh my god.
Yeah. So we robbed them. My vengeance is sweet. But I can't interact with... I was going to say this as if this is like a general problem. I can't interact with people that are robbing me in a normal fashion.
What's wrong with you, Alice?
I know. Yeah, my social skills are not that great. Like, I rolled up into a ball, like I was like a hedgehog on the floor, and I was just shouting at you bastards. I was shouting at them. And the poor people were more afraid of me than I was of them, because they were trying to get out the front door, but I was rolled up in a ball in front of the front door. So they couldn't open the front door. And they had to foot me very lightly to the side. And then they went out. And then I was like, I'm going to call the guards so hard when you leave.
Yeah.
Never got caught.
You can't, I don't think you can give yourself a hard time for what you do in those situations, because they're so stressful. And what I was really frustrated myself when my phone had been stolen that time, because I'd actually given it to him. He asked me if he could borrow the phone.
Oh.
And he said it was. He said he needed to call. As a kid, he said he needed to call his mom. And then he just ran away with it. And but I was annoyed at myself because I didn't chase him at all. I was like, what was wrong with you in that situation that you wouldn't even, you know, had you no fight in you, Eleanor? But then about 2 days later, I realised that I had my laptop in my other bag. And that was the reason that I had done. I had obviously made the decision I needed to protect that more than the phone going out the door. So
I'm happy for you.
Yeah, I got a resolution.
It would have looked bad though if you're chasing a kid down the road and he's like, I just want to call my mum. And you're like, no, fucker.
I'll talk to your ma, put her on to me. Yeah.
Oh Lord! Yeah. It just sounds like he was like that kid out of Home Alone with your phone and just having a great old time in London.
He did. Yeah. I think part of it is that because I don't have kids myself, but I'm also quite competitive, so I take any opportunity I can to show the world that I would have been a good mother if I was given the chance. So I'm kind of easy prey for young, kind of vulnerable kids that come up to me. I'm like, oh yeah, look, everybody's seen this. I mean, nice to a child, yeah.
That is good. I should ask you as well about Irish Pictorial Weekly, because you were a big part of that. What was that like to work on?
That was so much fun and so me. I got to work with Barry Murphy and the Après Match lads, and you know, when you grow up obviously in Ireland and Italia 90, all that stuff, that was just such a dream, getting to be in stuff with Gary Cook. He's the funniest person in the world, I think, actually. I'll stand by that. Yeah.
Who's going to challenge you? who's
going to say, my button's open.
Sorry. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Didn't need to say that on a podcast.
I suppose, no.
But people would have been okay.
Do you know when you're aware of something bad and then you're like, I'll verbalise it, and then people will look, you know? And you're like, shit, I tried to hide it. Yeah. You're from outside Athlone.
Exactly.
I am from outside Athlone, but like 20 kilometres outside Athlone.
Yeah.
Ballymore. And you're from the Roscommon side.
I know. Bitter rivalry there.
Two counties. What was it like growing up in the Roscommon side of Athlone? Was it different to the Westmeath side of Athlone?
I mean, it's very narcissistic to say there was any difference, I think.
I don't know.
You know,
we got the newer shopping
centre.
It's just
so minor. You did. Okay, if you want to play that game, Alison.
I do.
Go down that road. Yeah. Well, we're closer to the hospital in Ballinasloe, so we had 5 minutes less of a journey, you know, to get to A&E. So I bet you're annoyed about that.
Actually, I am a bit. Wait. There's a hospital in Athlone.
Doesn't have A&E.
That's true. But if you're a geriatric, you're sorted. They've got a great geriatric ward.
You're playing the long game against me.
You may have won the battle, but... But so what was it like in did you ever go to the Harriers nightclub, which is an underage disco in Tullamore that had a catchment area of everywhere? Did you ever go there?
I remember that. Yeah. I didn't know. We were more drawn towards Galway, towards Ballinasloe,
the city,
Galland's in Ballinasloe, the Hayden's Hotel, that direction, and Roscommon Town. There was a couple of nightclubs up there.
I've never been to Roscommon Town.
Oh. So sad. It was Athlone. Athlone had great stuff.
I did it. There's a place called Karma. And
yes.
Karma's in the Prince Wales Hotel. And once one of the fellas from The Prodigy, that's not the lead singer, was DJing at Karma. And I worked for a radio station at the time, and I could go into the VIP section, which was just a rope and the fella from The Prodigy. I didn't stay in there long now.
Is it just you and him?
For most of the night, yeah. Never talk to him, don't just, just sat there. But still, I'll have those memories too.
Absolutely, yeah. What was the paddock? Was that
the
in
paddock?
I would have gone there because it was close to the what used to be the RTC in Athlone, the Athlone Institute of Technology.
Oh, yeah.
And that was a student haunt, and I would have gone before I was a legitimate drinking person.
Oh.
Yes. I would have gone down there and tried to pass myself off as an adult.
Did you succeed?
I did a couple of times. But sometimes they just, oh, they'd be so mean, the bouncers. They'd know, they knew well anyway, you know, but they'd make you stand to one side, you know, and say, wait there. And then maybe like 15 minutes before the nightclub was due to end, you'd get to go in and, yeah.
They'll give you a taste.
Yeah. You'd be there for an hour on the Vian at the end. You'd be like, not much chance to get the shift, you know, but to be quick.
Oh, that's so sad.
All right, Alison. Okay.
No, I never got into, because I'm like very short and very childlike looking. So I never got into places until I actually had my passport, and then I'd fling that thing around. See me, I'm of age. I'm of age. And all my friends could get into proper nightclubs. There was when I was just turned 18, I went to Ackle. And there used to be an IRA pub in Ackle. Well, like, when I say an IRA pub, it had, like, posters of Free the H Block people on the side of the arcade machine. And also the bar lady wore a gun belt with Gerry Adams meeting Nelson Mandela printed on the front of her T-shirt. So I think it was an IRA pub, right? And I had a British passport. So I had to make the decision, did I want to drink?
Yeah.
And I went for it, and she was grand. Like, I didn't know. Everyone was grand in the end. But anyway, that's that anecdote.
She didn't stand by her principles then. She was obviously, you know.
No, she took the English pound.
Yeah.
Well, it was euro, but she knew where it was coming from. Yeah.
She could probably spend it up the north.
She probably could. Yeah. I hate that because you're living in the UK now. And
Shh.
Oh, sorry.
Shh. Tell anyone that.
It's so weird because I get paid in Northern Irish money sometimes and Scottish money sometimes, and I save all that money, like the notes, and then I go to London and they're like, "What is this shit?"
Yeah.
They look. Know. They're so suspicious of you.
Yeah.
It's like, you made that money. You colonized that country. Like, it's not my problem.
Yeah. That's a whole history lesson there. They won't know anything about that.
Yeah. That makes me really Republican, actually, when I have to spend Northern Irish money in London. Yeah. Then I'm like, Jerry was right. Yeah. Get him out.
Yeah. I hear you. Yeah.
What's it like in London now? As an Irish person?
So it's as well, Irish is one thing. Being from the EU is a certain thing in London now. Yeah, yeah. I guess it's a little bit like being a lodger in a house with a couple who have decided to get divorced but can't afford to separate just yet. There's real tension going on, and they're both coming to you privately saying, "What do you think is going to happen?" And you've got to play both sides, you know. It's, I mean, I can say it here.
Yeah, go for it.
They're fucking idiots. But, you know. You know.
Yeah. You were there the day that they voted? What was it like? Or were you there? Do you remember it?
I can't really remember it.
I remember going to bed.
No, I think I was away.
Oh, were you away?
Yeah. Yeah,
I remember going to bed and going, "Oh, this would be grand," and then waking up.
I know.
And I woke up in the morning like, "What?" And then I rang up my dad, and he's like, "Yeah, I voted leave." I was like, "What, Dad?" He lives in the UK. He lives in England, and he's a leave voter. And when I go, "What about this and what about that?" He goes, "Don't be afraid, Alison. It's gonna be fine. It's gonna be." That's what they all say. Don't go about fear, you know. But, Dad, what about the economy, Dad? You know. Being brave won't help you when there's no medicine, do you know? Bravery there will fight off whatever infection you get.
Yeah. They think they know best.
They do.
So,
they do.
Yeah.
But I get that you still have to live there, so maybe we'll go off the subject.
No, it's funny, though, because you meet very nice and very kind people.
Oh, yeah, my dad's very kind.
Is he?
Yeah, kind of. In his own way.
Yeah, it just seems so. So you kind of want what's best for them as well, like.
Cause, yeah.
You know, you don't want them to. Yeah.
Oh, so sorry. Don't worry. Where are you from?
Kent.
Lovely. I'm from Harrow. I changed my accent. Oh, I tell you what. I'll give you a few tips. Right, go to secondary school in Ireland. Right. And primary school as well. 2 weeks, it's gone. I tell you. I went over sounding like Danny Dyer, right? I swear to God. And people used to come up to me, and this is a bit I do, but the people used to come up to me and go, up the ra. Up the feckin' ra. And now, do you still get that? Are you English as well? Wait, don't worry. Where are you from?
I'm Bath.
Bath, lovely. And how long have you been living here?
11 years.
I hear the years. You got an Irish twinge there. Fair play. Fair play. How long are you here? Are you just here on holiday? A year. Are you intending to stay? Are you we really like Brexit now, fucking going to the EU. Just 3 more years. Beautiful, beautiful. Fuck it, don't. They'll destroy themselves by the time. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You've after leaving a burning ship there and you can look back from our lovely green EU shore. Just...
I did see some Irish people who were a little bit kind of going, you know, begrudging people in the UK applying for UK passports now, because there are loads of people who are eligible to be Irish citizens. And it's kind of like they missed the point, because I think the whole thing of, you know, finding a last minute technical loophole to get out of the Brexit, that's the most Irish thing I've ever heard of. So that... They qualify in my book for that reason.
They're more Irish than us. Yeah. I'm applying for an Irish passport now. And my English passport runs out. Well, it's British. It runs out in September. And I still have to do that. But I have my grandparents' birth certs and marriage certs on my... do you have those?
No, you?
Oh, no. Shite. You're just going to have to go up to a guard and go like, I know what Tato's are. Yeah, I know what Glenroe is. If you say up the raft 5 times into a mirror, you automatically become an Irish citizen. I'm joking. Oh my gosh. We've been talking for so long that we have. I've always wanted to get you on the podcast, and I'm so happy you came.
I'm so glad.
Was there anything that you feel that we didn't cover?
So much. So much.
It's like
England. Maybe if you had me back sometime, Alison, maybe we could have another conversation.
Totally have you back all
there
the
we
time.
Go. How did I manage that? That's great.
I know. Then I asked you that question, and I was like, this is like a weird question you get at the end of a job interview, where they're like, "Have you got any notes on us?" You know? Yeah. And you're just gonna go for it.
Well, let me see.
Oh my gosh. Eleanor, thank you so much for being on the show. I really appreciate it. Give it up for Eleanor Tiernan, everybody.
Thank you very much. Thank
you. Woo! Thank you so much. Thank you very much to recruiters.ie for sponsoring the show. This show has been with Eleanor Tiernan. If you're in Edinburgh, you can catch Eleanor Tiernan's show, People Pleaser. No, you cannot, because that was last year's show right there. Thank you very much. Beep! Thank you very much to recruiters.ie for sponsoring the show. You can catch Eleanor's show, Sex... You see, I got a lisp, so this is going to be hard. Beep! Thank you very much, recruiters.ie, for sponsoring the show. If you want to see Eleanor Tiernan at Edinburgh, give sex success... Okay, give success without a sex tape, and I'll Google, and you can find where she's playing there. Very excited. I've been Alison Spittle. I've been Alison Spittle. The team behind the podcast is Sarah Garvey, the wonderful producer, Alan Bennett, who looks after head stuff, Bobby Ahern from the Monster Club, who did the theme tune, and William Conway, who did the lovely artwork. I've not much to say about Edinburgh, because I'm recording this just before I'm going. I'm also moving house and I'm sweating so much. Yeah, I still have bags of stuff that I still need to go through. I still need to do stuff with Edinburgh. I'm not going to break my balls over it. I'm not. I'm going to continue on with my life. Yeah, tune in next week. We got Rhea Butcher and that'll be great fun. Hi, you're very welcome to the Alison Spittle Show, and I'm Alison Spittle. This week's guest is Rhea Butcher, co-creator and star of the CISO and now CISO sitcom Take My Wife with Cameron Esposito. It's really good. You should check it out. You should go watch it. There's two seasons of it and you can buy them on iTunes. This was in front of a live audience at the lovely Vodafone Comedy Festival, and I love them so much, and thank you so much for having my podcast on. It was great crack. We got very, I got talking about republicanism a lot. So yeah, go have a listen here. And thank you very much to recruiters.ie. Thank you very much to recruiters.ie for sponsoring the show. Recruiters.ie. If you are interested in tech, HR, marketing, finance, sales, if you know what any of this stuff is and you're competent at it, why not go to recruiters.ie and you can find your future career. Ireland's leading Irish recruitment agency. They're very good. They're going to help you find a meaningful dream job so you can be happy and do nice things in life. So register your CV at recruiters.ie/registerCV and get ahead of the busy autumn hiring season. Recruiters.ie are looking for you. Okay. And you go look for recruiters.ie. And anyway, on with the show. Thank you very much to Rhea Butcher for being a class guest. Thank you very much to Vodafone Comedy Festival for having us. Thank you very much to recruiters.ie for sponsoring the show. Thank you very much to Sarah Garvey for being the best producer in the world. Alan Bennett for creating this wonderful Head Stuff podcast network and website. It's very good. Thank you very much to William Conway for being my friend in school and then making me lovely art. Thank you very much to Bobby Ahern, who's in an amazing band called No Monster Club. And also, he's writing a new musical with Giles Brody and it's going to be in the Dublin Fringe Festival. You should go check that out. I really can't wait for that. Once again, I don't really have that much to say because I'm recording this in advance. So my feelings are a month away. So I'm not going to lie to you. And not you, pure listener. I'm going to go and I hope you have a lovely day. And best of luck. Bye.
This podcast is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network.